Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's time for Inspirational Wednesday Bible study. And tonight is the last study of the year 2016. And I am so happy and elated that God allowed us to come together week after week, month after month. It's all by God's grace. All things through Christ Jesus. And I'm glad that you have called in tonight. And I pray that the lesson that goes forth will be something to strengthen you, encourage you, and give you the ability to hold on to God's unchanging hand. As always, God is truly in control, and we have to remember that. But before we start the lesson, I'm going to play a song, and I think this song is so appropriate. And I ask that you listen to the words of the song, because God is letting us know He's always with us. No matter what's going on, He's right in the middle of everything that could ever happen to you. So I'm going to play the song, and I'm going to come back and ask if someone would lead us in prayer. And then we're going to explore the last lesson for the year 2016. Listen to the words of the music and be blessed. And we'll come back and go into the lesson.
Walked out on you. I was there when you didn't know what to do.
and found all of your family was gone. When you couldn't see your night from day, oh, I was there when you couldn't find your way. I was there from the beginning until the very end. Oh, I was there, it was me, yeah. I was there, I heard every feel. Come running out.
Right there in the middle of everything you could do. You have to just hold on and you got to believe it. And that's why the title of the lesson for tonight is Enter the New Year with a Spirit of Expectancy. You know, we enter 2016 and through God's strength and might, we about to enter 2016 and just like he was dead through all 2016. He's going to be with you in 2017, but you got to hold on. Our scripture tonight is coming from the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 27th through the 34th verse. I ask that everyone read the entire 6th chapter, and I pray that they found time to do it. But at this time, we have to go to the throne of grace. And as always, I would ask if anybody would like to pray. This is the last prayer for the program, Inspirational Wednesday, for the year 2016. Whenever I ask that question, I want you to know that that's not just coming from me. God always gives opportunities to his people to do the things of God. So if anybody would like to pray at this time, you could press the one button on your phone. If not, I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to go ahead into the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the author and the finisher of our faith, hear, Lord God, if once and again that we are able to come to your throne of grace, dear God, to give you honor and praise for all that you have done, is doing, and promised to do in our lives. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come together to explore the word of God, one with another. Heavenly Father, I pray that you continue to allow me to be able to go before your people in the coming year, just as well as you've been with me all through this year. Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you, and I ask your grace and your mercy to be upon all of the callers and those who have a desire to call and didn't, and hallelujah, and anyone out there who may need to call, dear God, lead them and guide them in a way that you will want them to go. Heavenly Father, I am so grateful and honored to be with you, and I thank you for each and every person that has been calling throughout the year. Lord, I pray that you bless them in the blessings that they are in need of and open their ears so they could hear what the Spirit has to say. Heavenly Father, hold them in your unchanging hand and lead them to where you want them to go. Bless them, their family, their friends, their neighbors, dear God. Bless our city and our state and our country, dear God. Look down upon our youth, dear God, and let them have a change in heart. Please, Lord Jesus, look down on the sick and the shut-in everywhere, dear God. Lord, we can't make it without you, and there's no other name beside the name of Jesus that we can call on. And right now I see Jesus with all of the petitions that has gone up. And Lord, I know you can make a way out of no way. So Lord, I'm just saying thank you. I'm giving you glory and honor and praise because you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, the title of the lesson is Enter the New Year with a Spirit of Expectancy. We're coming from Matthew, the sixth chapter, the 27th through the 34th verse. You know, when I got ready to try to put a Bible study together tonight, and since everything is leading to a brand new year, and, you know, the Spirit put in my spirit to say, enter the new year with a spirit of expectancy. Because that's important. You know, people go around year after year, day after day, and they don't expect anything of God. Some people who, if they don't study the word of God and they know what God said, then they, of course, can't expect anything. But you enter this new year with a spirit of expectancy. God loves for you to call him on his word. God loves for you to say, Lord, you said it, and I believe you said it, and I know you can do it. You see, that's when you're walking with God with confidence. And you expecting all that he said he has in store for you. You see, as we approach the new year, we look for something mysterious to happen to us. When we find something to believe in and try to make the changes. You know, everywhere people, oh, I got a new year's resolution. You know, and they're trying to find something to do different. Hopefully to enhance them and just, you know, help them to be better. You see, we discover that some task, some project, some idea has so captured our imagination that we want to give ourselves wholeheartedly to it, thinking about ways to do things different. And I think all of us has been there. We try to become dedicated to its fulfillment. Perhaps it will lead us to support a cause, a journey, campaign. Perhaps to take up a new role or responsibility. Perhaps to make a commitment of your time, your energy, or your financial resources. Whatever it is, this new cause captured your attention and awakened your passion. You see, we believe in what we are trying to do, and we commit ourselves to do it wholeheartedly. You know, we continue to push forward even when the obstacles arise, a door closes. Because we believe in our change, we persevere. We give ourselves totally to it because at some deep level, beyond common sense or logic, you know, at some point we decide to make these changes and we know that it's just the right thing to do. And we have to become aware to do the things that are right because it's just the right thing to do. We believe in this and many times we fail. We stop trying, we get disenchanted with the idea, I lose focus. The only way for us to achieve these dreams and goal changes is with the help of God, with faith. We have to stop being just hearers of the word and become doers of the word of God. Knowing what we believe and being able to articulate it is important. But if this is all our faith is about, we have not gone deep enough. Because faith without works are dead. You know, people can articulate the Bible. God said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Oh, God is the author and the finisher. You know, you could say all that with your mouth, but what are you doing with it? You see, authentic faith has to do more with the heart than with the head. Genuine faith involves total trust. You see, Christian faith and beliefs have to do with a radical trust in God. And I say radical because that's what it takes. Can you believe him? Can you trust him? Not just in some things, but in all things. You know, the Bible says, in all things through prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. And God didn't allow that to be written in the Bible just because, but he wants you to know in all things, all matters of your life, there's nothing too big or too small for you to go to God with a spirit of expectancy. It does not mean trusting in the truth of a set of standards about God. You know, some people only know some standards of God, some statements about God. But do you really know him for yourself? You see, the challenge is learning to relax in the word of God, which is our strength. Did you know that? The word of God is our strength. You know, it was Apostle Paul when he was weak and he was talking to God and he was asking God to do something in his life. And he said, even in my weakness, I have strength. But the word of God is your strength. To let go of our fears and receive the peace of God, we can only achieve it with the word of God. In the same way, we could say that we have faith and that we trust in God. But if you really say it from your heart with the right attitude, what you're really saying is you believe in God's ability to sustain us, to hold us up, even in difficult circumstances. Faith helps us to relax and let go and let God. You know, there's an old saying, if you're going to worry, don't pray, and if you're going to pray, don't worry. And I spoke a little bit earlier about that radical faith. First of all, faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. If you could see it, you don't need faith. Isn't it amazing that God told us to have faith and gave us the definition of faith and told us what he would do with our faith? But you got to hold on to the confession of your faith. You know, you can't compromise your faith every time you get ready. You know, I say all the time, Satan is not taking any times out, no vacations, no personal days. Satan is staying on the battlefield. And that's the same way we as Christians should do. You see, you must have a spirit of expectancy. believing that if God said it, it could come to pass. Expectancy is the state of thinking or hoping for something, especially something good, will happen. In a scripture that talks about the expectancy, this is the scripture that can let you know, because Jeremiah 29:11 say, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God already promised that. But do you hold on to it? Do you expect anything from God? Because if you sit down worrying and you depressed and you can't see no way out, what you really saying is that God is not able, willing to make a difference. So now you done took all of this stuff upon yourself, and you're going to be getting nowhere fast. God said, "I'm going to give you an expected end." But you got to expect it, and you got to believe it. You know, I asked you to read the 6th chapter of Matthew's. I want you to know that the 6th chapter of Matthew's is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. You know that the entire Sermon on the Mount is found in the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter of Matthew's. A lot of people think that the Beatitudes was the Sermon on the Mount. It was only a part of it. But the Sermon on the Mount is the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter of Matthew's. And if you want to hear the greatest sermon ever preached, read it to know what Jesus is asking us to do. And then how we can enjoy kingdom living. You see, I looked at the whole chapter, and, you know, the first part of it is tell us how to give. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. If you do it in secret, God will reward you openly. Then he teaches us how to pray, not as hypocrites to be seen. And then, you know, there's a lot more in it, but that's the main thing. You do it with your whole heart. You have to watch, even though you might be praying, you got to watch with your intent and your attitude that you're praying. If you doing it for someone to hear you and to say, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah," you know, it's you're going in with the wrong motives. And then he talked about fasting. And what he said, when you fast, and you don't have to tell everybody, "Oh, I'm fasting. Don't blow your horn and don't look all weary, because you see someone who's looking at you might not never want to fast, because they figure if it take you down like that, they don't want no parts of it. He goes on to talk about what your true treasures are, the ones that won't fade away, because where your treasures are, the heart is also. Y'all know what that means, huh? Is it all about your car? Is it all about your house? Is it all about your job? Is it all about your education? If that becomes your treasures, that's the kind of heart it will produce. You see, this chapter let us know that the eye is the light of the body, and no one can serve two masters. For he will love the one and hate the other. And then it goes on to say, take note for your life. And that's where we at today. And it says, and I'm going to read the scriptures now, Matthew 6:27, 28, 29, 30, 31, and 32. For those who have your Bible, you can open it up. And it says, which of you by taking thought can add any cubic? And I wanted you to know that a cubic was a measurement, and in size is 18 inches. It says, which of you can, by taking thought, can add a cubic, any inches, unto your statue? And when they use this word, his statue, it means which is your age. Any one of you can add more time to your lifespan, is what the scripture is saying. And why ye take thought for raiment, which is clothing? He said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not. They ain't working for what they get. They neither do they spin, not working. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You know, Solomon was the richest man that ever lived till this day. And he had it all. But the Bible says it was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what should I eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And when they used Gentiles in this scripture, it was saying people that weren't saved, and as the Jews call them, dogs and heathens. What God is saying, you know, that's how people in the world do, because they're dependent on the world for their substance. But if you are a child of God, and God promised to provide, and if you really take a second and look back over your life when you didn't have much, you still had on clothes, you still ate food, you had shelter, and it may not have been what you wanted, but God said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. After they say, but after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And then Jesus going to say, for your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of these things. You remember when the children of Israel was in the wilderness for them 40 years? You know, the Bible said their shoes never wore out. Hallelujah. God provided them food from heaven and water from rocks. Hallelujah. And he'll do the same thing for you, because God has no respect of person. You see, this scripture let us know that because God is in total control, warring or allowing certain thoughts to enter your mind cannot add or take away the will of God for your life. This scripture is not talking about one's height, but the length of one's life. You know, if we look back and, you know, God gave us the characters in the Bible and the books so that we could have examples and we could see his evidence of his work and power. You see, Job 14:5 said, seen in his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bound that he cannot pass it. That's Job 14:5, because I know some of you are writing. That's what Job said, that everybody have an appointed time, an appointed season. Jesus is teaching us by using objects of nature. The Bible clearly teaches that God is the creator and the sustainer of all things. He then lets us know if he take care of all of their needs. You ever saw a bird going to work, but they eat? He provide them the stuff to even make shelters. On my porch, I have two landings, and the birds always take and get twigs, and they come there, and they make a bird nest. And their children be in it, and every now and then they leave out, and they come back, and they bring food. And I could sit on the porch and see them doing this and doing this, and then eventually, you know, I might see the cracked shells on my porch where the bird has been born and, you know, the shell is cracked. And then I could still see the birds after it's cracked for a little while, and then they're gone. God will provide. He said, if I do this for the birds and the bees, what more will I do for you? But do you expect that God can do more for you? Do you have a spirit of expectancy, expecting what God has promised to do? The Bible clearly teaches that God is in control. We are not better, and yet we are so much better than anything that he created. But do we believe it? You got to remember, your stability is an inward thing that comes from the Spirit and can never be achieved by the outward things that are material. You know, there's a lot of rich people and even healthy people in the world today, but they are not satisfied. They may be happy every now and then, but yet they're still searching for the joy. They realize that something is missing. And until you know, truly know who your maker is, you will never know who you are. The more you learn about God, the more he get to display you, to let you know your character. That's how you begin to know your self-worth. That's how you begin to feel like you the head and not the tail. Come on, y'all. You know, these rich people may be happy sometime, and you know, happy only happens when something that you want to happen happens. But you see, something usually is missing, and if you look at the shows or if you look at them talking, they always were searching for something, and they were searching for that joy. The Bible said the joy that we have, the world can't give it to us, and the world can't take it away. Are you throwing your joy up in the air every time something don't go right? You see, and joy can only be obtained by the Word of God. And right now I'm going to read the 33rd verse, and this was more of the essence of what I'm trying to say for you to use to go into the new year. And the scripture reads as, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm going to read it again. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So if you're going into the new year, and if you make your new year's resolution to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the scripture guarantee you that all and everything else will be added. I came to tell you today that this scripture gives us the best way to enter a new year and hold on to it for the rest of our lives. If you do this with commitment to keep seeking, realizing that the race is not given to the swift, but those who endure to the end, everything will be added unto you. Spiritual, physical, mental, and even material. If God said it, do you expect it with a spirit of expectancy? You see, beginning a new, what we should always do is begin the new year with the end in mind. Full of expectancy. And that's where you will get the greatest success. Constantly seeking righteousness is a characteristic of God's kingdom. And you must do this to enjoy kingdom living. And that's just that. When our priorities are spiritual, God will take care of our material. Remember this, for where God guides, he provides. Wherever God guides, he always provides. Jesus said to seek first the kingdom of God in this Sermon on the Mount. The verses meaning is a direct, the verse meaning is as direct as it sounds. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be done read the 66 book. It is as direct as it sounds. We are to seek the things of God as a priority over the things of the world. Primarily, it means we are to seek the salvation that is inherent in the kingdom of God, because it is of greater value than the riches of the world. The Bible teaches us that we are to live in a world but be not of the world, for we are new creatures. Old things has passed away, and behold, all things are new. And I'm not telling you to not be concerned with your needs and the things you know, that's necessary for you to live. You see, this does not mean that you should neglect the responsible and daily duties that help sustain your life. Certainly not. But this is the thing. But for the Christian, there should be a difference in attitude towards the things necessary to sustain your life. No more, no less. Just a different attitude. You know, like the Bible said, people always want to say money is the root of all evil. The Bible didn't say that. The Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. And the love of money is all right if you put it in its right perspective. But when you go start cheating, lying, and conniving to get the money, God is saying, you know, he just don't want his people to be like that. You know, if you trying to get your riches and you going out with a greed attitude, come on, y'all, you know what I'm talking about. Look at all on the news how they try to get much, much more and wind up with less, less, less. Doing time. God want to save us from that. God say the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and everything that dwell in it. God, there's a scripture in the Bible where God say, how much more will I do for you than your earthly father who have a sin nature? And we have to realize that God have a will. And he has a will for our life. And the Bible teaches us that we became heirs and joint heirs along with Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ died, because someone have to die for the will to be executed, when Jesus Christ died, the will was bust wide open. Now, the word of God is called the will of God. Do you ever go to the will of God, which is the word of God, to find out your inheritance so that you can begin to have a spirit of expectancy? Come on, y'all. The Bible is full of promises for you. The Bible is full of ways for you to do it, to get it right. The Bible also tells us what God expects of us. And God wants us to know if we are taking care of God's business as a priority, seeking his salvation, living in obedience to him, and sharing the good news of kingdom, of the kingdom with others, then he will take care of our business as he promised. And if that's the arrangement, do you believe it? Do you expect it? If that is the arrangement, then where is there room to worry? But how do we know if we are truly seeking God's kingdom first? Are questions that you could ask yourself. You know, I ask you guys to take inventory on yourself daily. And one of the questions are, where do I primarily spend my energy? You know, it's time to be truthful with yourself. Is all my time and money spent on goods and activities that will certainly perish, or in services, or in the service of God? You know where you put your time, your energy. Is it in the Word of God or is it the TV? The result of which, when you put your energy in the things of God, it's going to go all the way through eternity. Because remember, only what you do for Christ will last. You're not going to take no material things. Come on now. You're going to take none of your money, none of your riches, because the Bible tells us in Revelation that all of this is going to be burnt up with a fervent heat. But you see, when you gave service to God and you shared his word and you were being obedient, that's what go with you through eternity. You know, the old people used to say, I'm sending up timber for my mansion in the sky. Some used to say, I'm working on getting stones for my crown. You know, when Christians die, you're going to the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, it's not going to judge if you saved or if you not saved. Because remember, if the judgment seat of Christ is only for Christians, and Christians are saved, and because Jesus took away their sins. So when you die and go to the judgment seat of Christ, it's not going to be questioning are you saved or not saved. It's going to question what have you done for me lately. It's going to look at your deeds, your efforts, your heart. Hallelujah. If you could really take and understand this holy dynamic of seeking God first, I guarantee you that all other things will be added unto you as well. God has promised to provide for his own, supplying every need. We can look at it all through in the Bible. Come on now. And even when God let us go through hard times like Job, when it was all said and done, and we realized by reading that it was only a test, but then God immediately went into restoration. Hallelujah. Job got really double for his trouble. Come on, y'all. And you know, there's another philosophy being taught out here by many, some churches, that God wants you to be rich. But that philosophy is not the counsel of the Bible, and it is certainly not the counsel of Matthew 6 and 33, which is not a formula for gaining wealth, but it's a description of how God works. Hallelujah. It's not a formula for gaining wealth. It's a description of how God works. Jesus taught that our focus should be away from the world, its statue, and its lying allurements. If everything you think about is of the world, you need to redirect. Come on now. That's what the scripture is saying. You have to evaluate yourself. You know what you're doing with your time, your money, your service. And that's a good way to start in the year 2017, which is fastly approaching us. Re-evaluate yourself. And I guarantee you have success. And the last scripture say, take no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You see, what this is saying, we need not worry about tomorrow. Because tomorrow is going to come with its own troubles and challenges to be responsibly handled without worrying about a hypothetical problem that may arise. You ever got some information about something, you automatically went into worrying. You know, they might call and say somebody went to the hospital, and you go into worrying, oh, I wonder if they're going to make it. I think they might die. You know, that's hypothetical. You're thinking about hypothetical problems that could arise. Check yourself out. You see, sometimes fear is the evidence of something that appeared to be real. And warring is a form of fear. And the word of God tell us in Isaiah 41 and 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. And then God goes on to say, I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my righteous hand. Is that enough for you? No matter what God has said, and no matter, you know, they got 66 books in the Bible, and God is telling us how to be encouraged and how to help ourselves, and he explained it so elegantly. What he wants to do for each and every one of us. And it just never seemed to be enough. You see, the word of God says that God will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, plenty of times when you stop going to church or you stop praying and you do all of this and it feel like God left you, God say, I ain't leave you, you left me. We might still feel afraid, but we can believe that God is with us. We may not be in control, but we can trust the one who is. It's not about you having control over everything in your life. It's about trusting the one who has total control. Hallelujah. Come on now. You may not know the future, but you can know the God that does. You see, God is not a God of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. You know, it never matters what come your way in the form of trials or tribulation or adversities. They're going to come. Just because you love the Lord and you save and you're a Christian doesn't mean we're not going to have hard times. James, in the book of James, he said, not when, not if, but when you fall into these trials and tribulations. So we're going to have them. But it's not so much what comes our way, but who we go through them with. Now, y'all have had all kind of problems in y'all life, I'm sure. And if you haven't, keep living, and you will. But God delivered you out of them all. Many times in our lives, we may think that it's hard because at some point in time, you really just outdone because you figure you're going through. Oh, child, I'm going through now. Oh, I'm going through. But many times it is God bringing us to where he wants us to be. God is constantly arranging and rearranging the matters of our lives to receive his many blessings. See, some things God got for you, you ain't in position to receive it. So what he does, he arranges and keep rearranging to get you into the place where you can receive for what he has for you. God's going to do his part. We all have to begin to do ours. You see, tomorrow is not promised to anyone. So let tomorrow take care of itself. Supposing you're sitting there worrying about next week. You could get in a car accident and be killed. So all of that worrying about next week was in vain. If God took care of you yesterday, he could take care of you tomorrow. Hallelujah. Don't be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, being thankful, present your request to God. And the God of peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. That's a scripture in Philippians 4, chapter the 6 and the 7 verse. And as I close tonight, our last Bible study in 2016 with a grateful heart and love for each and every one of you and all of that. And as I close, I want you to know you have to start all things with a spirit of expectancy and believe that if God said it, it shall come to pass. And remember, what God has for you, it's for you. No one can stop it. No one can block it. And that's our lesson for tonight. If anybody would like to make a comment or a prayer, give a testimony as the year go out, give words of encouragement. If you would like to do that, you could press the one button on your phone. Caller, your number is 985-774. Your mic is open.
Hey, Sister Diane, I just want to thank you for reminding me to reevaluate myself every night, and just so that I can approve, you know, so I can get better every single day and prove myself. And that's something I slipped away from this year. So I'm very happy that you, you know, I don't even know why, but, you know, I did. I'm very happy that you brought that up to my attention.
And thank you, Sister McBride.
And I hope you and your family had a blessed Christmas.
Thank you so much. And, you know, I just thought it was, because, you know, the word of God is so simple. We make it hard. Something like reevaluate yourself. Go make it be conscious to you. You know, and God wants us to seek him first, and he'll give us everything else. We make everything out of battle. We make everything out of struggle. We worry. We get fearful. But God said, I didn't design it that way for you. He said, let go and let me. Simple as that. Let go. Because the scripture we had earlier said you can't add nothing to your life. You can't take nothing away. Let go and let God. And he got it all in control. But you got to believe it. And you got to have a spirit of expectancy. I expect so many things from God. When I get ready to do this program, I say, Holy Ghost, I expect you to come and have something for your people that they may grow. God, I expect that you will guide me in the way that I should go. Because there's a scripture in the Bible, Philippians 2 and 13, say it is God. Watch this. It is God that worketh in us to will and to do his good pleasure. Now think about that. It is God that worketh in us to will and to do his good pleasures. He's telling you it's not all the way on you. It's on me. He said, but you got to cooperate. And it's just good. That's all I could tell you. I love each and every one of you, and I thank God for your support and commitment that you call in week after week and everything like that. I'm so thankful and I'm grateful. If anyone else would like to say anything else, and like Sister McBride brought it to my attention, I pray that each and every one of you had a joyous Christmas and that the new year would be that you will have another way of entering into it. Stick with the word of God. And they say it in that scripture, all other things going to be added unto you. So if anyone would like to make a comment, or if anyone want to lead us out with prayer, you can press the one button on your phone. If not, I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer and a benediction, and we're going to end for tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that went forth. Holy Spirit, I pray that the word does not return void. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every person that calls in. And I thank you for what you're going to do in their lives. Lord, I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. And Lord, I pray that the new year bring more joy, more peace, more understanding to all of us, your people. Help us, dear God, to go in the way that you want us to go. Let us truly, God, be guided by you, because your word says, wherever you guide us, you will also provide for us. Hallelujah. Lord, and for this and everything else, I am just so grateful. And thank you, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's our lesson for tonight. And this is another scripture I want y'all to really take hold to. And it's a good thing to start the new year with as well. But there's a scripture in 2 Peter, I think it's 3:18. It says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. period. Grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord. And I guarantee that you will have all of the success that you ever need. Grow in grace. It is 2 Peter. I looked it up just now. 2 Peter 3:17. It says, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forevermore. And that's the benediction and my prayers, that you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our God as we enter into the new year. Each year you should want to be better. Each day you should want to be better than the day you were before. Each day, each year, each month, each week should be our goal. Seeking ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so that all other things will be added unto us. And that's our program for tonight. The next time we be on the air going to be January 2017. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll meet back again. So to each and every one of you, be blessed and hold on to God's unchanging hand, because he will see you through. And that's our lesson for tonight. I just want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. Good night, and be blessed.